Welcome in. You are listening to the Blue Notes Podcast, a presentation of Indianapolis Colts stories and notes. I am your host, Benji Taylor. Well, it's been quite a week for our team. The Colts played its first preseason game, which was a loss, who cares, against the Bills in Buffalo. And shortly after the plane landed in Indiana, Shane Steichen named Anthony Richardson the starting quarterback for the season. JT was rumored to be joining the team this week. Then he did. Then he didn't. Incidentally, someone who has returned and played Saturday is Shaq Leonard. Shaq is back, and we have lots to discuss. Stay with me, Colts fans. Back in 2012, I traveled to Baltimore for a work conference, my first and only time to Baltimore. My coworkers and I stopped in a little gift shop, and I was quite confused to see some Colts merchandise coloring the store blue and white. I was confused because in that moment, I had forgotten that our team, the Colts, originated in Baltimore before moving to Indianapolis in 1984. Apparently, there are still many Colts fans left there in Baltimore. Well, their own team, the Ravens, accomplished quite a weird feat this past weekend. The Ravens won its 24th consecutive preseason game. It's a weird and quirky accomplishment, but I'm not sure if it's worth anything. Conversely, Baltimore's lost love and our team, the Colts, played what many people outside of Indy might call a flawed and failed performance, which proved very little on the scoreboard. And yet, in Indy, within this organization and within its fandom, we saw something very different Saturday. Saturday's game in Buffalo was a booming success in the eyes of Colts hopefuls. In the very least, it was what you expected. I think it was a huge success, potentially greater than a 24-game preseason win streak. It was a booming success, but it wasn't a perfect game shutout. Maybe the weakest of the three phases of the Colts game was the special teams. The post-Bubba Ventrone special teams looked pretty shaky Saturday. The Colts' first and biggest offseason contract went to kicker Matt Gay. When you pay big, early money to a kicker like that, you expect him to be automatic inside the 50. Matt Gay missed a pretty easy 28-yarder. And then his backup followed with a missed kick later in the game. However, the special teams provided two bright signs of hope. Actually, one big red frizzy sign of hope. Grant Stewart's wide red mane streaked all over the green field in a flash as he recorded about 50 tackles. Somewhere overshadowed by a player's return, to be discussed later, was punter Rigoberto Sanchez. What a sight for sore eyes. Rigo was a punting ace before tearing his Achilles tendon last season. I'm not sure if he's now 100%, but just seeing him out there booming footballs down inside the 20 was a comforting sight. Welcome back, Rigo. I brought up that Ravens streak not to criticize them for doing something actually kind of cool and quirky. I like the streak and have no problem with it. Why not? But my question is, what does it mean? What good is it? I think that training camp and preseason games are the perfect time to fail. It's the perfect time to lose and make mistakes. I said this in last week's episode, throw interceptions, take risks, push the boundaries now while the losses don't matter. Then see what you can learn from them. And the Colts defense kind of did that Saturday. They weren't very good. I thought the pressure on the ends was pretty weak, but there were a couple things that happened in that game that I'm really excited about. One is that Shaq Leonard played football. Shaq is back. As I said in last week's episode, I've been afraid to even mention his name. His injuries have lingered on and on with no clear timetable for his return and full recovery. I didn't want to get my hopes up that the maniac would return in full strength or that Shaq would ever be himself again. He only played 6 snaps Saturday, so I still cannot say whether he will be himself again. I don't know that right now. But man, it was good to see him out there. Just to see 53 out on the field moving and engaged and spreading some kind of hope that we could see him again terrorizing offenses soon and very soon, Oh, what a feeling. Another breath of fresh air for Colts fans that probably doesn't mean that much to anyone south of Indiana was Darius Rush's pick six. It was late in the game against the backups, maybe no one cares, but this team has fully embraced the youth movement at the cornerback position. There are looming question marks in the secondary, especially since the team released Isaiah Rogers and traded away Stephon Gilmore. I'm not saying that one late-game interception in a preseason matchup for a fifth-round pick answers all of our cornerback questions. I'm not saying that, but it sure was a pleasant sight. In the preseason, when we are embracing youth, simultaneously embracing mistakes, we are just looking for signs of hope, reasons to think that this team is heading in the right direction after a humiliating campaign in 2022. The pick six by Darius Rush did that for me Saturday. He was later beat for a touchdown by Colts castaway Desmond Patman, but I'm not letting that one play kill my chill. The highlight by Rush was just a little glimmer of hope that the Colts' questionable secondary needed. Before we move on to the offense and what Anthony Richardson did Saturday, I have a confession to make. This past week, I was watching some Colts coaching interviews on my Colts app, on my phone, and suddenly, I missed Frank Reich's sincerity and candor. I miss that man, I have to admit. And I wish the story stopped there. It doesn't. And I started thinking that Carolina probably has an app much... I can't believe I'm admitting this. I assume Carolina had an app much like we have, the Colts app. And probably they post media interviews just like the Colts do. And I bet I could access them for free. So that's what I did. I'm not proud to admit this, but I downloaded the Carolina Panthers team app. Then I clicked on video just like I would do for the Colts app. And sure enough, there stood Frank Reich in his Panthers hat. I clicked to play the interview and heard that familiar voice as Frank responded to questions about his new team and called media members by name. And I'm here to tell you that I didn't enjoy that. It kind of felt dirty. It was like stalking your ex-girlfriend on social media. You know, the payoff is really never what you think it is or what it's going to be. And I wouldn't recommend it. So I'm here to say now that that actually sealed it for me. That's the closure that I need. I didn't enjoy the experience, but yes, I think I got the closure that I needed. I've been very clear on this podcast that I loved Frank Reich. I did. I loved him. Maybe he deserved to be fired, but he also, I think, deserved to be treated better. Meanwhile, I have my doubts about new head coach Shane Steichen. He wasn't even in my top five picks to replace Frank Reich. Nonetheless, Shane is our guy. Frank has moved on to his new team. I wish him the best, but I'm rooting for Shane's team. He, for better or worse, is our guy. I can't believe I just admitted that. I am a weak, weak man. The message of this episode is to embrace mistakes, so there you have it. I have made a mistake, and I'm embracing it. All right, enough about me. Let's talk about the Colts offense that very much looked okay Saturday. As I mentioned, Anthony Richardson was named the Colts starting quarterback about as soon as his feet touched down in Indianapolis. Maybe it wasn't that soon, but the decision was clear and decisive, and I loved it. This is what I was clamoring for since the raw talent was drafted fourth overall. Why not? I just couldn't imagine any kind of way that Gardner Minshew or Sam, as much as I love Sam, should start for this football team. This team is now Anthony's team. To learn and grow and make mistakes and try again and again. Not only was the news thrilling, but I thought it especially cool how the announcement was worded. Anthony Richardson wasn't named the week one starter, which carries kind of a hedging tone as if to say, you know, if he sucks it up, he could be replaced thereafter. No, Steichen didn't say that. He also didn't say, we're going to roll with Anthony Richardson and see what happens. No, AR was announced as the starter for the regular season. This means that barring injury, Anthony Richardson should be the Colts starting quarterback for the entirety of the 2023 season. This is astounding news when you think about it and about what happened with this team during the 22 season. Truthfully and sadly, if you go back through the years, since 2016, the Colts have had very little confidence in its starting quarterback and his future. That sentiment was absent as the playoff wins. This announcement was needed to unify Colts fandom and put to rest one agonizing question for at least one calendar year. QB1 didn't throw a complete game shutout Saturday, that's true. In fact, what I thought was so interesting about the announcement this week of AR being the regular season starter was that the entire announcement was coded with analysis of one particular play from the first drive of Saturday's game. It was Anthony Richardson's interception. To conclude the Colts' first drive, AR made a terrible decision and threw the ball directly into the defender's hands. It was not an exceptional play by the young quarterback, but with every chance he's gotten, Shane Steichen has spoken glowingly about how well Richardson responded from that play. And it's true, he did respond well. He continued to move the ball and take risks. He was unfazed. The interception was a welcomed opportunity for AR to respond to adversity in a rather difficult but safe environment. You want to see your franchise quarterback fight when his back is against the wall. Maybe we'll see that, and I do think AR has some fight in him. But what was more impressive is that he didn't respond aggressively or anxiously. Richardson was cool and confident following the early interception, and his better snaps came after it. Another area of Anthony Richardson's game where I think a negative could actually be a positive is his 100-mile-an-hour fastball. AR has a devastating arm. It's extremely powerful, and you love to see it with deep balls striped down the field. That's a wondrous sight, but he gets into trouble when he's trying to connect with a receiver who runs much closer to the line of scrimmage. AR has some trouble taking some heat off the ball. Fastballs have a tendency to get tipped or dropped by the receiver, and he could clearly use a bit of touch. But Saturday, I saw a silver lining. When the ball reaches the receiver in laser speed, the pass catcher has more time to either make a move or turn and go upfield. Of course, if he is in blanket coverage, this won't matter, but I thought about the comparison to last season. I don't mean to criticize Matt Ryan and his noodle arm, but that's not my intention. But if the ball is floated out to the receiver like a message in a bottle, the defense not only has time to close in on the ball and deflect it, but worst case for them, the defenders also have time to simply tackle the guy after the pass is completed. With Richardson's fastballs, the receiver is pelted in the chest with the Duke, with defenders still in chase. Then the player has a split second longer to turn, avoid the tackler, and break up field. Inevitably, Anthony Richardson will need to learn to put some sweet touch on his passes. Yet, there is a clear advantage to having a missile arm to deliver passes with devastating speed. Much of the preseason, we are wanting to see if last year's questions were answered. One position in particular looks to be in much better shape than in years past. That's the slot receiver. This role was meant to be filled by 2019 draft pick Paris Campbell. As you know, unfortunately, Paris dealt with injuries throughout his 4 years in Indy and never solidified himself as a proper outlet for the quarterback. To make up for his absences, the Colts would often lean on special teams players and good but not great receivers who were meant to be backups. After signing Isaiah McKenzie in the offseason and drafting Josh Downs, it looks like the Colts have in fact answered the question at slot receiver. I'd still like to see Downs get more work with Anthony Richardson, but honestly, both guys have looked good through camp. They're small and shifty and always seem to be finding open spaces in the defense. The slot receiver is a unique position. Wednesday, Coach Steichen said this when asked about his slot receivers. He said, those types of routes, you don't really want to coach them. You let their talent shine. It looks like the Colts have two talented players to fill that role, and for the first time in quite a few years, the Colts appear to be safe in the slot. The offensive line Saturday was quite perplexing, actually. At first, when the Colts were unable to move the line and thus failed on short conversions, I wrote in my notes, the line still stinks. But later, Deion Jackson found a little bit of running room. In his first two snaps, Gardner Minshew was sacked, yet Anthony Richardson was not sacked in 29 snaps. So here's my conclusion. I was concerned about the offensive line following last season, and the team did not address those concerns, so I'm still concerned. I did suggest on a recent episode that I expect the starters to play a little better this year. However, the backup linemen are in rough shape. Kevin Bowen made an excellent point, though, that I hadn't considered. He said that having a mobile quarterback is going to make a significant difference in the success of the offensive line. I had heard that before, but I had never considered it the way Bowen explained it. During his interview Monday, Ed Dodds said about the offensive line, "He who makes first contact usually wins." Well, think about this. When you have a mobile quarterback, especially in the shotgun or pistol formation, there's always a threat that he'll run the ball. That is obvious, but what wasn't obvious to me is what could happen in that split second after the ball is snapped. Defenders are hesitating. They're waiting to react, which is a dangerous place to be as a defender in this league. In that split second, our guys can strike first and gain the advantage. And if what Dodd said is true, our offensive line can win the line of scrimmage at a higher rate simply because we have a capable runner in the backfield. And the defense is forced to hesitate. Consider the comparison to last year when Matt Ryan was quarterback. There was no threat to run, no threat at all. So defenders could power off the blocks and slam into our linemen with speed and force. They were often at a disadvantage. We saw it snap after snap, and it wrecked the entire offense. I am not saying that all of the sacks should be blamed on Matt Ryan, or that the ineffectiveness of the offense last year should be blamed on Matt Ryan. I'm also not saying that Anthony Richardson will fix everything. I'm still concerned about the offensive line. The lack of depth is a bit terrifying. However, AR's supreme athleticism could provide the split second needed for the Colts O-line to gain a slight advantage. That's all. Lastly, I want to add, I thought this would be a shorter episode, and that is appearing not to be the case, but I want to comment on Kylan Granson. Last year, I questioned whether this guy would make the roster. Now, he's the de facto tight end one. Given the injuries to the other, perhaps more talented tight ends, Granson has made good on his opportunity. He still struggles with drops and isn't a perfect prospect by any means, but his athleticism and quickness should serve this offense well. Also, he's a capable blocker, which is a bonus. Okay, that's it. That's it for us this week. Following joint practices with the Bears, the Colts host the Bears Saturday at 7 p.m. Let's come back next week and discuss. Talk to you soon. Take care and go Colts. This was a presentation of the Blue Notes Podcast. I'm Benji Taylor. Thanks for listening.